Every day, in communities just like yours, men and women devote their lives to building our economies, brick by brick and job by job. These are their stories. You're listening to From the Ground Up, North America's Top 50 Economic Developers.
Welcome, everyone, to From the Ground Up, North America's Top 50 Economic Developers. I'm Tim Tarantine, here with my partner and friend, Carla Winchester. Hello, Carla.
Hi, Tim. How's it going today?
All things are great. We've got another great conversation. We're going to be talking to Tim Eckerle today on the podcast. And Tim's been in economic development doing great work for 32 years and 3 months with the Grant County Economic Growth Council. And there's a lot to know about him and a lot to know about what his organization does. But they continue to be leaders in the field.
I can't wait to hear how Tim's conversation goes because Tim is full of life. He's very funny. He's just very witty and fun. And I can't wait to hear what his insights are on economic development.
Yeah, he told me before we were getting ready to have the conversation that he gets to go to work every day at a place where his board and his staff just allow him and the team to do the next right thing. And in economic development, I mean, you couldn't ask for more.
Yes, and he is a great example of great economic development.
No question. Ladies and gentlemen, sit back, listen to the call with Tim. It's one that you won't forget ever in your life, I promise. It'll be a great one. Tim, welcome to the call. So glad to have you on. How's it going, man?
Well, you know, after that introduction, I'm just awestruck, and I'm looking around to see who else is in the room that you really wanted to talk to.
Yeah, I've been in that position before. You know, people introduce you, and you're looking for Marvin Gaye to walk in the room behind you, right?
Yes.
Good to talk to you, man. Listen, let's start right with economic development because it's an industry that we both love. You've been in it for 32 years. What is the most significant change in our industry from the time you started to today? What's the biggest shift that you've seen?
I think the speed of which it's occurring and the variety of data sources that people have to rely on. In the past, you know, you would be given a luxury of time to respond to anybody's interest of putting together a proposal, even for an internal expansion. And they were relying on you for all the data because you had data sources they could trust. And now, because of the internet, they're making that call, but they're also Googling and Facebooking and doing everything else and getting data from a variety of sources. So it's all about speed, and it's about understanding what all the data says, not just your data.
Well, that's right. I mean, we were in New York for a C2 summit for Consultant Connect, and we were talking to a room full of site selectors. And one of the things they said was that the metadata, the big data, they can get anywhere. What they don't have is what you know about your community. Talk to me about that shift in the data and how you've been able to pay attention to your own community's data in a different way.
You know, the metadata has always been there. But it's understanding what they're really asking. I think lots of times we, you know, data is data. Our goal as economic developers is to turn data into information and to really tailor that information to the one asking the question. Whenever we're talking as a team about a project or about anything we do, I always emphasize to the team, it's all about understanding what this person is looking for. And it's always about asking questions. Now, hopefully we're asking intelligent questions. Sometimes I don't think we accomplish that goal, but other times, you know, hopefully we do more times we don't.
There's no question about it. So let's talk about leadership now. I love the conversation of leadership and economic development. We're going through a generational shift in the industry. I mean, you need only go to one of the national or international conferences and you can tell that there is a generational shift happening. Tell us what you think economic development as an industry is going to feel like in another 5-10 years?
You know, I often tell both my children and the younger members of the team, I'm saying, I am so happy to be at my part of the career path because the changes have been rather dramatic. When I first started in this business as an intern with the city of Bloomington, Indiana, I was the collator. I actually walked around a conference table collating because of we had a very sophisticated printing press, but it didn't have a collator.
Wow.
And now you look at all the abilities that technology has brought to us, and the speed it's brought to us, it's really changed kind of the nature of how we work. You know, physical locations mean very little to us. I mean, I don't hesitate to have an entire team on the road at different events doing different things because we're all still connected. So I think that that ability to work in a variety of settings and to be really technology savvy is becoming more and more a driver.
Speaking of drivers for success, failure is one of those drivers, right?
Mm-hmm.
We don't always hit it 1,000%. So tell us about a failure that you've had as an economic development leader and what you think you've learned about yourself and your organization in that process.
It's always when you make a wrong staffing decision.
Mm. Tell me more.
I think that, you know, when you're looking at, you hire a person to become a member of your team, and then, you know, have them for, it could be a while, and then they don't perform what you thought they did. And even scarier is when you don't realize they didn't perform until after they're gone, because your internal metrics weren't what you should have been. You trusted, but you didn't verify. That probably was the biggest lesson I learned. I mean, we've lost projects, even though we were the best proposal, because just the personality of the owner making a decision like something over, you know, someplace else better. But that wasn't really as telling as a growing experience as dealing with when you realize that you had misplaced your trust.
Mm, yeah. And as you know, business moves at the speed of trust.
Yeah. And no matter how you look at it, over my tenure, trust has always been a factor. I don't think we really truly appreciate that. You know, every time we talk about conferences, we're always talking about how to make this presentation or that, you know, how to do the cool slideshow. But what we really should be talking about is how are we building trust with the client?
Right. And you can't do that without people who know how to build that. I'm going to take a quick pause for the cause. Tim, your story is amazing. And to your point about talent and developing people, we've got some cool things coming up through Consultant Connect we want to just quickly talk about. Carla?
Well, thanks, Tim. We've talked a little bit about our annual conference, and we're mixing it up a little bit this year. We're doing things a little differently. We're going to be hitting Atlanta, Georgia on November 1st and 2nd. And we've been talking about it a little bit on this podcast, but as emails have come through with more questions, I thought maybe you and I could just take a minute and do a few fast facts.
Okay, go for it.
So, fact number one, date, November 1st and 2nd. Location?
Atlanta, Georgia. Beautiful Atlanta, Georgia, at the High Museum of Art.
It's going to be fantastic. Another quick fast fact. The conference is spanning 24 hours.
24 hours and 24 consultants
That's
in 24
correct.
Hours.
That's correct. So over the course of 24 hours, we'll have 24 consultants there. But it's not just about the consultants, Tim. What else can our listening audience expect to receive if they come to economics?
Yeah, the consultant strategy is just a part of the gig. We're going to be talking about leadership. We're going to talk about emotional intelligence and its role in job creation. There are so many other things that go into the work of an economic developer more than talking to a site selector. And so what we plan to do at Economix is really to stir up what leadership in economic development is really all about and how we take ourselves as economic developers and our organizations to the next level. You don't want to miss Economix. November 1st and 2nd, Atlanta, Georgia. Be there for growth. So we're back to you, Tim. I hope to see you in Atlanta, by the way, in November. But I want to talk to you more about this idea of leadership and economic development, because we often talk about the technical things, but as you know, those aren't the things that trip us up. So when you think about your role as a leader in economic development, what's the most important decisions you make in your organization?
Gee, I think that the nature of that decision changes on a day-to-day basis. I mean, you never know the little decision you're making today and how it impacts you in the future. I mean, it's always about allocating resources or time or effort, but what that decision is, you probably don't know about its importance until later.
Well, sure, yeah, because unfortunately about leadership, it doesn't have hindsight, right? It doesn't work too well in hindsight. You got to always
figure it out more. It's perfect, though. My hindsight is perfect.
Right, we just can't live that way, unfortunately.
Yes.
So when people think about your organization, Tim, when you run into new customers, new partners, when people talk about you or your team and the board, what is the value or words you want to resonate with people?
Well, we always have on the back of our business cards, we have, it's kind of corny, three touchstone words. Everything we do, we run through this prism of reputation, innovation, and collaboration. And that's what we always try to impart with everyone we're doing business with, no matter if it's the first time or the gazillionth time. That's what we do. The Growth Council is those three things.
So what's your dream? What's your vision for the Growth Council? I mean, if the Growth Council was operating at its best self, what does that look like?
Well, it looks like that it's, first of all, it was receiving recognition such as this. I mean, there's a pretty awesome recognition. I like the way it's done and that it's my peers as well as our target audience. And so recognition does factor into when it's acting well. I look to have a team that is constantly growing and pushing. When we're really on is when we are taking what we've done and trying to do it better. We try to focus more on our successes than on our failures. You know, it's easy to say, okay, well, here's the root cause of the failure and pretty well come to it and just ignore it. But when we have a success, we try, how could we have done it better? How could we have been more efficient? Who did we miss? And build off that. So when we're really hitting all cylinders, it's when the team is pushing for new things.
I love it. Final question, because you mentioned up front that you and your board have a good relationship and the board seems to be focused on the organization accomplishing its mission in a way that's not micromanaging. It doesn't seem to be antagonistic. How did you create that culture between you and your board?
You know, that is a great question. I think part of it is, I didn't know if I created it. I think they created it. I've been very fortunate from the board who hired me. It's not the board that I work for today. We are very good about term limits. But they've just created an environment that they take their task extremely serious. They don't take themselves seriously. I mean, it is a very free-flowing environment. I just kind of play off that. Maybe I add a little to it, but it's just the very nature of who's on the board, I think.
Wow. Great. That was a great answer. Great insights. Tim, thank you so much for being on the call today. Thanks for your leadership and economic development and all the great things you and your team do. And of course, congratulations again on being named one of North America's top 50.
Well, I appreciate that, and I enjoy this. It's been a very enjoyable experience.
Thanks, Tim.
Thanks for tuning in to North America's Top 50, produced by Consultant Connect, an organization working to bridge the gap between leading economic developers and location consultants. To learn more about what we do and how to get involved, please visit consultantconnect.org or tweet me at Ron Kitchens.